All right, now, if you will, come down here. The Apostle Paul here is talking to you about some things that have to do with traditions. Look in verse 15. I've been asked this question already. Does it have to do with the traditions of the Catholic Church? Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. The traditions he's talking about there are things that have yet to be penned in a book for people to be able to read. In other words, the Apostle Paul oftentimes spoke words. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And so the Apostle Paul would teach certain things, but it hadn't yet been put down. So when the Apostle Paul gives them a tradition, it later will become a doctrine, something that they do. Not one of these kind of things where you have no biblical precedent for doing something. In other words, I've told you the illustration before, and I got called to a particular place up north, and we were sitting there around the table trying to iron out some problems they were doing. And when I got my Bible out and I laid it up on the table, there's eight men sitting there across the table and the pastor sitting right here. And I got my Bible out because I'd been asked to come up there. And I said, OK, gentlemen, if you'll take your Bible. And the old guy sitting right across the table from me, right over there, he said, well, you need to pull that out. And I said, need to pull what out? And he said, that Bible. He said, this is a business meeting. I said, yes, sir. And the only thing I know to conduct business with is to have an absolute authority, and the absolute authority is the Bible. Amen. And he said, well, I don't really much care what the Bible says. That ain't how we do it around here. So I just closed my Bible, and I told the preacher, I said, okay, well, we just will go ahead and go, because I'm not here to try to be a CEO of some kind of a corporation to come up here and try to run a business. And he said, well, you need to get upset about it. And I said, sir, you have some serious problems here, and the reason is that you have no authority. You want to do things the way you want to do things, and he wants to do things the way he wants to do things, and the pastor wants to do the things he wants to do things, and the only way to get you all on the same page is to put you under the authority of the book. Now, you're either going to run the church according to what the book says to do and have some accountability to other things, or there's no point in us having the discussion. He said, well, I guess no point in the discussion. You say, what's going on now? The church is owned by some charismatic bunch of people and is completely defunct. You say, is that because you went up there and pronounced a curse on them? No. It's because I knocked the dust off my heels and said, see you later, you know. No. The problem existed before I ever got there. And it continued to repeat itself over and over and over. You say, why? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's hard for you to understand is the Christian life, though you have liberty, it is not this liberty to just do whatever you Johnny well please. The liberty you have is not as an occasion to the flesh. Everything you have in life has an order to it. God is a God of decency and order. The devil is discord and disorder or chaos. They're opposite ends of the extreme. So if you have something that comes along and there's no rules, there's no regulation, there's no order, that goes for your family. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and I'll show you just a couple of things real quick. Look in Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. A famous wedding passage. And people think, you know, well, this is a passage just for married people. This is the Apostle Paul using a marriage as a demonstration or a picture of how things ought to be in the body of Christ. It ought to have order. Sir, you are to be the head of your household if you're married. Now, you see how that just went right there? You've been modernized. You say you're a Bible believer. Okay, if I preach, don't smoke, don't drink, don't cuss, don't chew, and don't go with them that do, you're like, amen, preacher, that's right. You know, get out on people that smoke crack and get on people that shoot heroin and get on people that drink and people that do all these other kind of things. Yeah, preacher, yeah, get on those people. Okay, sir, you're out of order if you're not running your household according to what the Bible says. Amen. You're to take the role of leadership. Yes, sir. She won't give it to me. Ma'am, you're out of order. Now, if you're a single mom or you're by, it's a different set of circumstances. But here's the problem with a single mom. The single mom comes along and now she lets the kids subvert the order. And now the kids tell her what they're going to eat or not. And now I realize some of you don't appreciate when I mention this to you, but I was not raised that way. I was raised in a household where I sat one night till almost midnight because they put Brussels sprouts and avocados on the plate. I put everything on those avocados you could put on them to try to make them get down, and I couldn't get them down, and I had to sit right there until I ate them. And you say, well, that's child abuse. No. He put it on the plate. My mama put it on the plate. There was three little slivers of that slimy, grimy, pasty that I don't have to eat if I don't want to any more stuff. And he said, now you're going to eat the avocado. You're going to at least try it and eat those three slices. And I don't want it. Okay, well, then sit here until you do.
Right.
And everybody else had their bath and everybody else. Yeah, I thought I'd wear him down. He came in there and looked at me. He said, I see it's not gone yet. I said, Daddy, I'm getting sleepy. He said, I guess you better eat your avocados. I put barbecue sauce. I put mayonnaise. I put mustard. I got pickles out. I got all kind of stuff. I came in there and I'm still looking around. Now, I'm just telling you how wicked I was as a kid. I'm a little kid. Why don't I just eat the cotton picking thing, swallow it? The dog wouldn't even eat it. I tried. Dog came in there and I'm like that. And then around the corner comes, you know, God Jr. He comes around the corner. What you doing, boy? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Yeah, I was trying to give the dog the avocado. The dog sniffed the avocado and said, man, I ain't eating that. I'd rather eat dog food. And so several hours later, I'm still sitting at the table. There's a green chair over in that corner right there. And I'm sitting there at the kitchen table. And I heard my mom say, are you going to let him go to bed? He said, yeah, I am. I'm sure I am. As soon as he eats them avocados. You say, what'd you do? I ate the avocados. You say, what a terrible thing. It ruined you. No, it's not my. I was never in a household where my dad was going to let the kids tell the dad what to do. You say, what did that do? You'd be surprised what peace and security you get when you know you got parents that care enough about you to tell you, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I grew up later on. I was in high school one day, and a couple of guys going out after a ball game and stuff, and Dad was going to go to the pizza place and get some pizza and stuff like that. Can I go? He said, well, I guess you can go, bud. Be all right. Had a good game, you know. I said, okay. So we get out there. Next thing I know, some guys get an ID, and he got a pitcher of beer sitting on the table. This is in high school up in Tennessee. And he set a pitcher of beer out there on the table. And right off the bat, I felt like somebody kicked me in the stomach. And I thought, now, you shouldn't be sitting here. And they're all laughing and cutting up and pouring it like they've been doing it all the time and that kind of a thing. And I'm thinking to myself, now, something's not right here. And they said, hey, come on, Pete, what about it? And I said, no, I ducked. My daddy will kill me. I said, as a matter of fact, he's probably around here somewhere. And he'll probably be walking in. And then they're like, is serious? I said, seriously, he's probably around here watching somewhere, you know. But one of the greatest things was is that my dad realized that sometimes you don't have the character or the courage to stand up for yourself, so I could duck behind my dad. My dad would kill me if I did that. God pops out a blunt one day. We're down here by that time in Jacksonville, and he's around the back of the school building, and he wants to hand me some marijuana there to smoke and the funny cigarettes. And he puts the thing out there. He goes, here, man, everybody else does it. You know, make you get through school better. Well, by the time I was that old, I should have had the character to say, no, thank you. You know what I said? I think my daddy would be right around the corner and he'd probably get me. Amen. You see the security that comes from that? Yes. Knowing you're always taken care of and always cared about. Sir, you don't realize the disservice you do when you won't take the leadership. You're lazy. You're lazy. Society breeds that. Society breeds where you don't have to take responsibility. You know what will happen? You guys gripe all the time. This, if this was a men meeting, I know it's not, but if it was a men's meeting, I'd give you what I'm fixing to give you right now. What you don't understand about a woman is if you won't do it, she will. And then you gripe about her taking the reins. No, you handed them to her.
Right.
You handed them to her. You won't make a decision, she'll make a decision.
Amen.
Oh, yes, she will. She absolutely will. She's made that way. You say, why? She's insecure. She wants a decision. Make your mind up. You ride down the road. Here's how it goes. You hungry? I'm hungry. I'm really hungry. You know where it's going. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? Now, you know what she's saying? After all these years, you ought to know what I like to eat. That's what she's saying. That's the hidden. That's the fine print you can't see. She wants her man to pick where we're... My husband said, we're going to go eat at such and such a place. You know, why? Well, he knows that's what I like to eat. But you know what you do? You jellyfish. You like nailing Jell-O to the wall. And the fact of the matter is, you say, well, baby, I tell you what, I really don't like to go to that place. But we'll go to that place this time and go to the other place next time. How's that sound? Okay, good. At least you took the lead.
Yes. Yes.
But you know what you wind up doing? Then you make her make the decision, and then the second you walk in the door, you start griping from the second you get in the door. There ain't no place to sit around here. They never take care of you here. The service is terrible. The food's horrible. The prices are extremely high. And they expect me to tip into something like this. Then you get out there, and now she feels like, well, I'm sorry you had a bad time and the meal was bad and it's all my fault. No, it's your fault, sir. Because you wouldn't take the lead. And with taking a lead comes a responsibility. The meal goes bust, it's on you, buddy. You say, what is that? That's a God of order. Look, if you will, please. This is a famous passage. I did a wedding up in Georgia one time. Some kids that I'd known at a meeting I'd preached years ago, and they grew up and fell in love and were going to get married and so on and so forth. And they had a big fancy wedding at a farmhouse. Nice place up there in the backside of nowhere, just acres and acres and acres of land, beautiful barn and a farmhouse and all that kind of stuff. And so I was going over their vows with them. I met with them an hour before the service and going over their vows with them and stuff. And I said, now, here's what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to go through this thing in Ephesians chapter number 5, and I'm going to show you what the Bible says about the wife's position and the husband's position and all that. And about that time, her mother came in. And her mother walked up to me and she said, you're Brother Peacock? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, well, I'd like to discuss with you wedding vows. And I said, well, are you getting married? And she said, no, but my daughter is. I said, okay. And I looked at her daughter. Her daughter's white as her dress. She's just white, just petrified. And I said, well, what is it you would like to have as far as input is concerned? I'm sure this isn't the first time you've talked about it. She said, do you use the part in the vows where you say to love, honor, cherish, and obey until death do us part? And I said, I absolutely do. It's biblical. And she said, well, I'm requesting you leave obey out. And my precedent for that is Ephesians 5 and verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. I said, ma'am, you haven't read the rest of the passage. You just pulled it out of context. She said, well, we don't care about the rest of that. She said, they have to have equal subjection. I said, oh, so a marriage is like both people in a tug of war, both of them trying to lose? Well, that's it. She said, quote, well, you know that biblically the husband is the head of the house, but the woman is the neck that turns the head. I said, ma'am, I've heard that since I was 9 months before I was born. I said, I don't know who taught you that, but that's not biblical. Because if the neck turns the neck is ruling the head. Y'all are so funny. Each of you act like I'm giving you some strange doctrine. You're looking at me kind of like, what? Where in the world did he come from this? You remember there where he talks in 1 Corinthians 14 about order in the church. You know what he says? God, and then Christ, and then the man, and then the woman, and then the kids. You know why? It's an order to things. God intends for things to be done decently in order. Watch what he said. Submitting yourselves and one to another in the fear of God. Submitting to who? To God. And then you're able to submit one to another. Now he's going to get specific. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. What is this? It's a tradition that was later penned on paper. Paul taught them that in Corinth. Paul said the most carnal church has a problem. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, listen, I came to you, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to give you strong meat. Man, I wanted to give you some heavy-duty doctrine. I mean, I wanted to lay it on and lay it on thick. I wanted to give you some of the deeper things of God and all that. But wherein there was there, but you're carnal. Why? There's envy and strife and division. And so I had to give you milk and not meat. You know what Paul said to that church in Corinth? Part of the problem is you're out of order. And he addresses order, including the whole order as far as tongues is concerned in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, don't embarrass yourself by raising your hands. Can you show me one passage in that Bible where a woman ever spoke in tongues in that Bible? How come your churches are full of women speaking in tongues? It's out of order. You say, well, the Bible says, you know, a woman ought to keep silent in church. That has to do with tongues. It's a teaching thing. It has nothing to do with you being able to say amen or you saying praise the Lord or giving a testimony. We had one of our ladies got up the other not too long ago, got up and she got ready to sing a song. And she said, I just want to thank God for being good to me. And she gave a little bit of a testimony there. And then she sang the song. I got a phone call. You let women preach in your pulpit? I'm thinking to myself, what planet are you from? You must be. I said, come on, man. You smoking crack this morning or something? He said, well, I tuned into your service the other day and I saw a woman up there talking in the pulpit. You know, the Bible says a woman is to keep silent in the church. I said, I don't know, brother. I said, I'm really not familiar with who you are. You must have a problem with your wife staying silent at home or something than for you to think that the Bible also says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. That woman didn't do anything out of order at all. She gave a testimony of how good God was to her and praised the Lord for it and then sang her song and sat out. If you don't like it, turn it off. You say, why be that rude? You know, maybe he'll come here. You don't need people like that. That's out of order. A woman's not secondary where you can't let a woman praise the Lord or give a word of testimony. My aching back. If she goes to preaching, don't worry about it. We'll quiet it down. I found that preachers that focus on that stuff all the time, they generally have a woman that they can't get to be quiet.
Amen.
So they preach it from the pulpit because they won't preach it in the bedroom.
All over it.
Well, glory. Wives, submit yourselves to who? No, look at it now. Come on. To what? You missed the word. There's a three-letter word there. Your own husband. You can't go and say, honey, the preacher said. I ain't your husband. I got a wife. You know, the Bible says that a preacher is supposed to be the husband of one wife. Why? One's enough. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know what he said? You have to submit to your own husband, not some book you read. You know how the devil will tempt you, Eve? You know how the devil will tempt you, Eve? He'll get you looking at something you know you have no business looking at. And you know what he'll do? He'll get you listening. You know what Eve did? She submitted to the devil. You know what opened the door for sin? She submitted to somebody that wasn't her own husband. You know what you'll do, ma'am? You'll go find somebody that lines up with what you believe, and then you'll try to use their authority against your husband.
Amen.
Ooh, he done gone to preaching now.
Yeah.
It's just Sunday school, man. He's messing all around with stuff. No, I'm in the Bible.
Amen.
I am going to go to preaching if you don't liven up just a little bit. You're being corrupted by modern theology. You say, what? It's directly contrary to the Bible. Listen, that doesn't mean doormat. It doesn't mean you don't have a say-so. It doesn't mean that you're unintelligent or that you don't have a brain in your head or you got rocks for brain. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that if I'm going to be in line with God, then I got to do what God said. I'm sorry he made you a woman. But he must have thought you have the character to be a woman. And if I was going to be a woman, as that old preacher used to say, I'd want to be God's woman. You know what God's woman knows how to do? God's woman knows how to do what her husband said. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know my husband. That ain't saying much about you, ma'am. You picked him. You come all the time griping and complaining. My husband this, my husband that, my husband so, my husband did this, my husband did that. My husband, I'm thinking, ma'am, just keep on. You or just, I just hand you a shovel. You're just digging you a hole. Didn't you pick him? Didn't you have to have him? Didn't you think you could change him when you married him? Yes, you did, or you wouldn't have married him. You saw all the good things, and you thought, I'll fix the bad things. How's that working out for you? You're thinking, well, he's doing pretty good now. Yeah, I hear all the jokes, you know. You know, well, I've had him around for all this time, you know, that kind of thing. Well, would you get married again? No, it took me too long to train this one. I got you. I realize there's give and take. I understand that. The Lord uses a woman like a chisel on a man sometimes. Yeah. And he's the hammer. He'll stick you in the fire and use her as a chisel and whittle you down to nothing. The Lord can tear you out of the frame, that chisel living with you. I'm trying to help you. You say these kids that are in here listening to you, they won't never want to get married. Good. That's good. Let them wait a while. Boy, if you find a good one, that's a blessing. I don't know why you parents, you're in such a hurry to get your kids married off. Are you tired of them or something? Say, well, they get to be a certain age, you know, they're no longer a tax break. As long as they're living in the house, they are. They give you a break if you trained them right. By the time they get a little older, man, there's your lawn cut and there's your grass done, your dishes done. There's your clothes being washed. There's your beds being made. It'd be like living in a resort, man. You get enough kids around there, maybe. Yeah. I kind of knew that one might be coming in there. I might have played up to that one just a little bit. We're talking about order. We're talking about order. But see, it runs contrary to how you want to believe. You live in the information age. And all you have to do is by now, by a click of a button, or now you don't even have to touch anything. You can say it. You can say something to the thing, whether it's Siri or Bixby or Google or whoever the search engine is, and you can say it and you can find what you're looking for. And ma'am, your tendency is going to be to find somebody that can armbar your husband so you can take control. Now, here's the deal. Maybe your husband's an ogre. I don't know. But God said you're to be in subjection to your husband unless it's illegal or immoral.
Amen.
But that ain't real popular today. All this equal rights, Eve ruined Adam stuff, all that other kind of a thing. I'm for you getting paid the same. Matter of fact, in some cases, you deserve more.
Amen.
Really? I don't think a woman, she's an RN, a nurse. I don't think she should be paid less than a male nurse doing the same thing.
Right.
She probably should be paid more. She probably does stuff he won't do.
Right.
I don't know about you. Now, y'all are maybe a different generation. But if I'm in the hospital, I'd rather have a female nurse than a male nurse.
Amen.
There's something about a male nurse giving me a sponge bath that makes my skin crawl. That don't fit for me. Now, maybe you're good. It's kind of like, hey, I'm good, man. I was in the Navy, man. Corpsman all the way. Okay, well, good. I ain't in the Navy. If y'all want to go for that, that's fine. My wife can be in there. I don't care. You know, she's like, give me that sponge, baby. But here's the deal. I just took the spade right out of your hand. Here's the thing we're talking about. You see how contrary it runs to modern theology? You see, the tradition of the world have stepped in now. And now what's happening is the devil is using the same thing he used in the garden, and he's getting you to subject yourself to something outside the Bible. Who would have thought you could cause a church split by preaching what the Bible says about being in subjection to your own husband? Now, sir, with that comes a responsibility. You have a responsibility to educate yourself. Can I say with all charity, as best as I possibly can, you don't have to be stupid. If you can read, you don't have to be stupid. You know why you're stupid? Because you're lazy and you want to be stupid. Now, I tell you what you'll know. You'll know everything there is to know about sports. Or something else that you like.
Right.
Amen. Maybe for you it's Amen. Politics. You think because you know politics that makes you smart. That makes you an imbecile because you're wasting megabytes in your brain for something that doesn't account for anything.
Amen.
But listen, if you can read, you have no reason not to educate yourself.
Right.
You say, well, preacher, I don't know how to do it. Okay. Well, can you read? All right. I can give you the stuff to read. It starts off with what's in your lap.
Amen.
You expect her to follow you? He gave you a roadmap.
Right. Amen.
She's looking to you. How are you leading her? Some of you fellas are going to be real surprised you get the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord's going to say, listen, I want to talk to you about what you did while you were on earth. Yeah, Lord, I led this many people to Jesus, and I did this, and I did that. And so the Lord said, oh, okay, all right, great, wonderful. It's a good cover-up. I want to talk to you about your house, your home.
Amen.
How'd you do with your wife? Did you try? Did you educate yourself? What do you know about charity? What do you know about humility? What do you know about being up is to be down first? What do you know about being a servant? You know what I've learned? I've learned men that are insecure have a tendency to be bullies. I've learned that. You want to go verify that with a psychologist? Go ahead. You'll find they found out the same thing. You know what I've learned? I've learned if you don't know anything, you know what you do? You raise your voice and you try to beat people down with loudness, with volume. You jack up the volume. Threatening words, the Bible calls it. You know what you do? Because you're showing your ignorance. You think the louder you talk, the smarter you are. No, the louder you talk, the more ignorant you are. Well, preacher, you talk loud. Okay, whatever. Put it on me. When it comes to preaching, it's a whole different deal. I'm talking about in your home. Now, think about the last conversation you had with your wife. It started as a conversation. You're probably arguing over some great, masterful thing, like the milk was soured when you poured it in your coffee and you had to make another cup of coffee because the milk was soured, or something. I mean, something earth-shaking you were fighting over. And you started off with a conversation. And she came back at you, talking to the men. And she said something back to you. And your first response is, "Hey!" And she's like, "Okay." And if she dares elevate her voice, you know what you do? You get that much louder. And you know what I've seen them do? I've seen them be sitting down, then I've seen them stand up and rise to their full stature and tower over that woman and look down on her. "Okay. Okay. Big bad wolf, huff and puff and blow your house down." You know why? You don't know any other way to handle it. Because you're ignorant. You haven't educated yourself enough to know how to use words to talk. Doesn't that Bible says you dwell with a woman according to knowledge? You say, "But preacher, if you knew my wife, she's an ogre and she does this and she does that and all that." Okay, I understand there's exceptions to the rule. I get all of that stuff. But you ever wonder sometimes if maybe she hasn't become that way because of living with you? This isn't too rough for you, is it? Men. Men. I'm wore out with all the preaching on women. Women this and the women that. The women that's all. Okay, all right, fine. Maybe all that stuff's true. What about you men? That's an easy duck. That's a cheap shot, man. That's an easy target. A woman, that's a piece of cake, man. But you wouldn't go toe-to-toe with an educated woman for nothing. She'd embarrass you to death. Appreciate that. Your other fellows are kind of like, Yeah, you claim equal rights and all that stuff, but you don't want that woman to get an education. She'd be smarter than you. You sure don't want her reading her Bible every day because you're too lazy to. And then she winds up, you know, like I've had them in my office. "Well, preacher, you know I ought to be reading my Bible and I ought to pray and all that, but I'm just so busy and this and that and the other. And, you know, my wife is really the spiritual leader in the household." What is that sound in my ears? It's whistles and bells going off and going, "You got a problem, man." Mm-hmm. You say, "Why?" Educate yourself. Right. Turn off the box. Right. Amen. It's tough to do, isn't it? Men playing war games and video games. Walking around with these little dog paw things on because they got carpal tunnel syndrome from playing video games. What is this? Do we have any veterans places I can go to? I'm a veteran of the video war I was in. And you wonder why that woman treats you like a boy. And then you're wondering why things don't get spiced up at certain times of the day. Because she's not interested in that with a kid. You created a mindset. We don't have any little ones in here. You need to listen to me. This is good for you. Amen. You want to spice up your marriage? Turn off the cotton-picking video games.
Amen.
Video games. They got them playing. They sit next to me on the plane. Grown men playing Candy Crush. I didn't even know what it was. They got these little dot things and then they fall down or something or another, and then you move this and then some more fall down and all that. And these guys are over there. This one guy sitting next to me, we are literally still on the tarmac. The jetway is still out. We haven't even closed the doors yet. He's already hooked up, man. He's wired up, got it on. He pulls out this big screen iPad thing like this and he's playing the thing. He's just like, he's just locked in. He's starting to pant and I'm thinking, man, I don't know if this guy's... I'm not real sure about this guy, man. I'm thinking, man, they're going to come get security, get this guy off the plane or something. He is in a sweat. And she comes by and said, "Sir, you're going to have to put that up." "All right, just a moment. I'm almost at this level." And I'm thinking, somebody needs to level you. I look on his left hand. There's a wedding ring. But the longer I looked at him, I didn't know if he was married to a woman or not. I'm dead serious. I'm not being funny. Batman almost cried when the pilot came out of the cockpit and said, "Sir, the stewardess has already, flight attendant has already come out and asked you to turn that off. Please turn that off and stow it or we will." Well, if you're going to be that way, over a game. I'm like, "Sir, if you'd like, I'll be glad to get up and I can move further back. No problem with me." Candy Crush. And then come home. "Hey, baby." Now, ma'am, think about this. If you got a son and your son comes home and says to you, "Hey, baby." You'll be thinking, "Boy, I'm fixing to..." You're going to be eating out of the back of your head. Right? And you think that the problem's her. You're a wannabe. I've seen that happen time and time and time and time again. Wannabe soldiers or wannabe policemen or wannabe firefighters or wannabe... Well, why didn't you go do it? Why didn't you go do it? They're always cutting everybody down that ever was. But they never did it. You want to be careful about that. You say, "What?" It breaks up the order. What I'm trying to help you to see here this morning is there's some things that are written in the Bible that we now know that the Apostle Paul had to teach even people back then, even before video games. Now, let me ask you a question, sir. What is it that so occupies your time that you don't have time to be the man God would have you to be? Amen. You say, "You're talking about being a man of God." No, I'm talking about being God's man.
Right. Amen.
I'm talking about being a man of character, a man that's able to do things that he's supposed to do to provide for his family. A man that has a backbone that's willing to stand up when somebody comes against his family to say, "Hey, that's my family." And they may be all that and all the everything you might say about it, but it's still my family and I can talk about them. If you don't talk about them, I'm going to shut you up. You ain't got the backbone for it. They yank you around like a poodle on a string. I see it happen all the time. Well, it's Mother's Day, so I got to go wherever mommy wants to go. There you go. Yeah, that's next week, so I'm safe. I won't say that next week because it will be offensive. Mommy, you don't want to control that household, not being the will of God.
Amen.
The lady said one time when she came here, she said, after hearing that stuff that you mentioned this morning about wives being in subjection and so on and so forth, she said, "I wouldn't come to your church if it was the only church on earth." I said, "Well, I preach a lot of other stuff besides that." She said, "Yeah, but I know what you're inferring." I said, "Ma'am, I don't know you from Adam's house cat. I don't know anything about you. Is it possible it's the Holy Spirit talking to you about your rebellious nature? Come to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and we'll show you something." So, preacher, what about the women that get out of order? Well, the Lord got something for them too. But this is more on the men.
Amen.
About responsibility. I call it collar up. Probably none of you had the benefit of ever either being around mules or seeing mules plow. But if you ever been around mules, it's a real benefit to watch how certain mules fit the yoke and certain ones don't. They fit the collar. And if you ever watch a good team of mules plow, it'll impress you if you have anything at all. It's impressive how those muscles tense up and how they lean into that collar and how they accept that collar without bucking it. Now, you got the other ones that buck the stuff, but they're amazing animals to watch when they're in subjection. What I'm talking about, men, is that the secret to getting close to Jesus Christ is collar up. That's a responsibility he put on you. You're supposed to be men. Well, then be a man. The Lord says to play the men. Okay, you don't know how to be a man? Then do the best you can to act like one. Find you some good men that know how to act like a man. Has nothing to do with an occupation. "I have a manly occupation." What is that? What is a manly occupation? A manly occupation is, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, no matter what I do to make a living. But I'm going to set the standard for my wife. Some of you got, you wait for your wife to get you out of bed. That's a friend of mine. A couple of weeks back, I was somewhere, and he came up after the service. He said, "Man, sure, it's good to see you." So on, so forth, blah, blah, blah. He's just talking 100 miles an hour. And I said, "Well, it's good to see you, brother. I'm glad you made it in." He said, "Well, I wouldn't have made it if my wife hadn't got me out of bed." I just thought about that a minute. Does she get you up every morning for breakfast, sir, buddy? Does she send you off to work with your little lunchbox? Does she do your homework with you at nighttime when you come in? You say you're being sarcastic. No, I'm not. I'm being a man. Your wife gets you up out of bed in the morning. Get up, sweetheart, darling, sugar pie, honey bunch. Come on now. You know, it'd be good for some of you. It'd be good for some of you to set the clock for 4 o'clock in the morning and just make yourself get up for about a week. You know what you'll find out? You won't be sitting on your hind end by the end of that week at 11 o'clock at night watching that blue go. You'd be saying, baby, I'm getting kind of tired. It's about 7:30 at night. I'm going to bed. You say, why? I got to get up at... If people call 9 and 10, 11 o'clock at night, I'm thinking, where the cat hair do you think I'm? I'm an old man, man. I'm in bed. I mean, call me if it's an emergency. It's kind of like, you know, hey, you know, did you see the latest thing? And all? No. Oh, preacher, I sent you a text last night at midnight. Well, what? Where were you? I was in bed asleep. I don't sleep with my phone like y'all, you know, underneath my pillow, you know. I think I was riding the electric chair or something. I don't sleep with that thing. It's in my office. If you need me, call me on my home phone. Send the police after me if you need. I'll get up and come. No problem. I've done it many times. But nowadays, you have a tendency to getting a little soft, aren't you? Got to have your beauty sleep. Well, it ain't working. You getting uglier by the minute. You need some sleep. But let me ask you a question. What would be wrong with setting your clock for 4 o'clock in the morning and have the discipline to get up and read your Bible and do what you're supposed to do before you get it? Every now and then it would be all right for you to turn on the coffee pot. You feel like you're going to throw up in your mouth. Is that? That's what that feeling is. That's the feeling you have when you drop about 1,000 feet in a second up there in the plane, and all of a sudden you feel like that's what you're feeling right now. You leave your wife to do all of that. Time for a come to Jesus meeting. Well, I work all week. Well, what in the cat hair do you think she's doing taking care of you? You don't call that work? Try taking care of yourself and see if that ain't work, let alone taking care of yourself and somebody else. Come on, ladies, you can go ahead and jump on the train. You know you want to say, man, you're just kind of like, man, well, I've been wanting to say all that, preacher, but I just wouldn't dare. Well, your prayers have been heard. I'm starting to get a little bit of this, and it ain't I surrender. It's like, whoo, fan in flame. Preacher, preach on. That's what that used to mean. Whew. Them old women would say, whew, burn him up, Lord, burn him up. Now, you want to be God's man? If you do, then you have to do what God tells you to do in the Bible. He said, take the lead. If you don't, notice what he says in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Look in verse 22. It has to do with Saul. I got to hurry. Verse 22. Isn't this a blessing?
Amen.
Sure it is. It's good for you. It's good for you. We had a military guy. He said he was a Marine. I guess he was. He went through school and all that kind of stuff. You know what he said? He came up after service one time and he said to me, he said, the way you talk offends me. Seriously, I'm honest before the Lord. I said, with all due respect, sir, you mean I offend your wife? He said, what do you mean by that? And I said, you were in the Marine Corps, weren't you? I said, you go to Paris Island? You do 4 years in the Marine Corps? And you're going to be upset by, I'm not even cussing at you or calling you a name. Don't come up and kid me. You're upset because your wife's not liking it, because she's losing a grip on you. Well, I just believe, you know, maybe we should find us somewhere else to go and worship the Lord. Okay, well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, see, folks here think I should be more pastoral. What's more pastoral than that?
Amen.
I'm supposed to speak the truth in love.
Amen.
I can work on the love part a little bit every now and then. But sometimes I get wore out with that stuff. The woman's giving him a hard time. And he's going to come kick the cat? Or in this case, the bird? I see that a mile away. I know what the problem is. You say, why? Because I watch you when I'm preaching. And I got some of you ladies so upset right now because I said the word submission and anything with the word sub in it to you except for something you get down here at the place down there that's got all the meat and all on it. Anything with sub in it for you, it upsets you to no end because you have taken your time to get on top. Okay, Eve. Okay, Eve. You know what that happens? That sows discord. And ma'am, You corrupt our kids here. Because you teach your kids and your grandkids and the other kids, well, I know what the preacher says, but. No. It ain't what the preacher said. I know what the Bible says, but. Don't hide it behind the preacher. You go ahead and change the word and be a Bible corrector if you want to be. Don't think you're correcting the preacher. You're correcting the Bible. I'm not outside the Bible. I'm in the Bible. Ma'am, it's not time to pray. We don't have checks on the carpet for a reason, so you don't sit there counting them right now. We put them up here, so at least you have to look at the Lord to count how many squares. Do you know how many there are this way and that way and that way and every way? Watch. Verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the offering, the Lord has great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" In other words, does he appreciate the sacrifices more than obedience? "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Hearken means to listen to pay attention to hear what he has to say. In the Old Testament all the time, you know what he would say? "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord." Hearken, listen. All right, then he says this, verse 23. Why? "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." You mean when I don't do what God tells me to do, it's the same as conjuring up another spirit? What the Bible says. It's as witchcraft, like and as in the Bible. Those are similitudes. In Hosea, he tells you that's what he uses to paint a picture for you. He'll say this, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air has nests, son of man has nowhere to lay." See the similitude? The comparison, that's what that is. You know what he just said? Rebellion is as witchcraft, conjures up another spirit. Stubbornness, being unwilling to do what God tells you to do. It's as iniquity and idolatry, worshiping another god. You rebel against God, you say, well, it doesn't make any difference. You're either worshiping God or the devil or yourself. Amen. When you refuse to do what God tells you to do, you know what you do? You say to God, "I think I'm a better God than you are." And before long, you got a two-legged golden calf. And you're worshiping him. Amen.